Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Very special show. Do I say special guest? Boy, I've got one in the house today. Dr. Trevin Clough is my guest today, and he is just phenomenal. Okay, so Trevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
It's my super, super pleasure. I get very excited when I can have on a great guest like Trevin. Dr. Clough is a practicing counselor. That's really the mental health counseling?
Yes.
Okay, and he specializes in a variety of areas. One of the areas that he said, let's make sure we point this out, that which is very important for a lot of people, is dealing with emotional issues, depression, anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Families, individuals.
Yes.
All right, excellent. And the telephone number to get in touch with Dr. Clough, and he's a busy guy, 386-428-4564. And I'll repeat that number later in the program, because once you've listened to him for a few minutes, you'll want to give him a call. All right, Dr. Clough, I'm going to jump on the couch.
Yes.
Okay. Jump up and down on the couch, because I'm glad you're here. So what we're going to talk about today, he came prepared, ladies and gentlemen. He's got, I always say, if you've got some things on your mind that you know that relate to finances and how we approach things with our money and our relationships, Dr. Clough is just living this every day with his clientele and his area of expertise and research. So our theme for today, which I just love, two ways to say the same thing. Don't always trust your gut.
Yes.
I love that. And then the subtitle, I suppose, is three ideas about cognitive bias.
Yes.
Okay, so first for our listeners, because they're like, what in the world is a cognitive bias? So let's start there. It's there. They just don't know they're doing it.
Correct. We sort of come into the world with thousands of pre-programmed emotional responses. So if there's a loud noise and you jump, you don't think about doing that. That's going on underneath. Now, we have thousands of those, and we don't realize a lot of them because, they're just these packages that don't make sense to us, except that they manipulate our behavior. And so when they come out, they shape how we think about it. So the facts actually follow the emotional package that we've had underneath. And so psychology is doing a good job of pulling those out and staring at them, and they're kind of funny and fun.
And surprising and spooky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unnerving a little bit because, you know, and I know you've got some examples of some of these things with some of these biases. We're not nearly in as much control as we think we are.
No, well, our unconscious mind is in control. That's
okay.
Part of us.
Okay,
and
okay. So I say that's my conscious thought.
That's your thinking mind.
Okay.
Yes, that's the director. That's what shows up and collects facts and tries to predict what's going to happen in the future.
But
that's
its job. But there's other folks at work.
Oh, there's a whole bunch going on. And the debate used to sort of be, where are the puppet strings? And we're sort of learning the unconscious mind really has the puppet strings. It's running the show.
Now, what's the, when you started describing that, and I thought of a cast of characters, you know, we've got the id, and we've got the ego, and we've got the superego, and is that all part of the, are some of those in the conscious mind, and some of them in the unconscious, or all those in the unconscious?
Well, those are terms that
there's a quiz here now, come on.
Right, those are terms that are about 100 years old. And
oh,
so,
okay, well, that's the last time I looked at psychology. Very good, David.
Know, no, so, but they still apply. They're great to sort of categorize things, but when we're talking about the unconscious, we're talking about just these, you know, it's taking in 5 million bits of information at a time. And so if you think about a rodent scrambling through the room, and the emotional response you get, you didn't think about it, you didn't try to have that, you didn't pick it out, your feet are in the air and you're sort of screaming and ready to escape. That's a prepackaged emotional response. Now, we have those towards money. That's what we're getting at.
Yeah, that's what we're getting at. There is a relationship here with money that we are getting at. And I have to make the funny comment that I used to be able to blame maybe something I shouldn't have done on the id and the David. Now I can't do that anymore. Thank you. You've debunked my excuse. So, but no, I think we would like to think, again, all that thinking mind, that we're very much in control as it relates to the decisions we make. And I sometimes make the comment to people is, you know, we, and I'm not the only one, of course, who said this, and I know it's very much what you do, Dr. Clough, is that, you know, sometimes we'll make an emotional decision, or it's an emotional-based decision, and then go find some logic and facts to support it.
Yes. And we'll cook the facts to make ourselves feel comfortable about the emotion we need to have in the moment.
We'll all, and something you said, and you may not remember saying this, but you probably do, you know, on a previous show, you know, you talked about with me about how we perceive the world around us. Everything is completely through how we feel.
Yes.
That emotional lens.
Yes.
I try to look at that and go, well, is there a way for us to, again, control that with, you know, with the thinking mind, the conscious thought, to take better control over that, so we make decisions that are better for us, that don't just make us feel comfortable?
Yes, I hope so. That's what I'm in business doing,
okay.
Right? But it is through the back door.
Okay.
We're sort of learning you got to come around and come through the back door with the conscious mind and know the tricks that your unconscious mind was trying to play.
Wow.
And then you can talk back to them.
Wow. See, this is why I had Dr. Clough on the program, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this is why if you want to get in touch with somebody to talk through things, you're dealing with some emotional issues, some things that are really impairing your life experiences, getting in the way of what most people think about as a normal life. 386-428-4564. Let's do this. I'd like to go to several more things. We'll get into some of your examples and the three aspects or examples of cognitive bias and how it affects people and their money. Take a quick break. We'll come right back with Dr. Clough.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back with Dr. Clough. You can tell I really like Dr. Clough and what he has, his perspective and insight into this whole area where we have the intersection of psychology and mental health and emotions and the brain and that colliding with sometimes the decisions we make, good or bad, or also how we approach money. So let's really go ahead and snap the pieces together and relate this very specifically to how people invest. And so here's a question. Would we be better investors if we weren't emotionally invested? And you've got some examples for me.
Yeah, actually, I think it's unless there's a whole bunch of practice and you're a professional gambler, because this is what they do that other people can't do, is they're able to recognize their emotional processes and come up with something to counterbalance those instincts. So, for instance, we have emotional momentum. We need for things to be true. And so if we check the stocks every day, we are checking for good news.
We're checking for validation of our decisions?
Yes.
Okay.
We need to feel smart. We need to feel like that the money we've earned and the decisions we're making are correct. And what's funny is if we get bad news, then we immediately come up with an excuse or a reason and then make ourselves feel better about it very quickly.
And it can't be that we did something wrong.
Correct.
Okay.
And what's kind of interesting is, okay, so if we're saying right now, I don't do that, yeah, that's you doing that.
Boy, we can't escape ourselves, can we?
No, we really, really can't. This is hardware, not software. This is in there. And so if we get around to the point where we're on, it's because we've had a lot of practice at recognizing specific things. I guess there's outliers, and people are probably born with instincts in different directions. But in general, when we're talking about the majority of people.
You don't have a lot of Spocks born.
Correct.
Yeah, most people don't have the ability to just turn off, click it off and... Or a more contemporary example, I'm of course referring to Star Trek, is Data being able to click off your emotion chip.
Yeah, aren't we fascinated with those characters that can do that?
And that's why we're fascinated, because I think in one way or another we envy them.
Yes. Yeah.
And we also want to be the perfect man and all of that. So it's all bundled up in man's pursuit to be perfect, which, as you very well know, Dr. Clough, we won't and can't be unless you rewire the hardware.
Well, and you know, it's interesting you say that, because there are people that are born with dispositions that don't have these mechanisms built in. they lead pretty miserable lives. They're not able to keep relationships, and they're not able to balance themselves.
And I guess in the extreme, you get into sociopathic type of mind, the way they behave and the lack of attachment and.
Right.
Okay. I'm an amateur, ladies and gentlemen. No, Dr. Close, the expert. I'm like, is this true? Is this true? I end up forgetting that we're doing an interview and I'm just talking with Dr. Close.
Maybe the way to think about it is that these instincts are there for a reason. They're just not necessarily good for certain aspects of our lives. And money is one of those areas where those instincts are pretty bad.
Yeah, they're survival techniques.
Yes.
Or hardwired survival, immediate response mechanisms for, you know, the shrieking at a mouse or... You know,
yeah, we actually, from our senses, we have two pathways to the brain from each of the senses. And the one of the unconscious mind is a tenth of a second faster. So that's what we get first before we start thinking. That's why we jump and then start thinking about our situation. If we did that backwards, we probably wouldn't escape.
We wouldn't survive.
No.
Because we're running before we realize what it is.
Yes.
If something large comes, you're walking the dog at night and something very big comes flying out of the woods. Your first response is to run before you try to figure out what it is.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, so...
We do that with money.
We do that with money. You're helping me. I'm just so fascinated.
No, I'm with you.
Dr. Close is like, don't forget, we need to tie this to money, David. But I'm so fascinated with this area and your insight into it. So we do it with money. And so, because money, of course, is so much about our personal self-worth and identity and our relationships as all flow... Have to either use a lot of analogies, but all are intertwined with money. And we were talking before we started the program, Dr. Close, about, you know, sometimes money is almost like gasoline. You know, you pour on an existing emotional state or a perception of the world around us or our relationships with others.
Yes.
So let's talk a second about this emotional momentum that you mentioned earlier. You talk about, you know, the example of the poker player. They, of course, the professional poker player learns and is trained, I guess, to be better at avoiding that emotional response. But this is why gambling can be such a, you know, and investing for a lot of people is gambling. It's why it's such a dangerous game.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting. Enough is an abstract concept, which means it's not concrete. If somebody came and put broccoli in front of you or something like that, your brain would go, enough, that's enough, I've had enough. We don't do that with abstractions. We don't do that with money.
Hmm.
And so it's kind of a no-win situation in that we never feel like it's enough with abstract concepts. And so that puts us at a disadvantage emotionally with money to start off with. Because we know when we're losing it, but we never get to the point where we feel like we have enough.
And this is why the casinos don't have the clocks on the walls. This is why they pump that place full of... Of course, this is just a conspiracy theory that they pump it full of extra oxygen.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's out there in the you know the realm of conspiracies. But there definitely is free drinks while you're playing.
Yes.
And you know it's just a matter of time. Because, yeah. And of course, the drinking just further, you know, impairs us emotionally. To you know, and so it's just, I got to get back even, right?
Yes.
I can't get up from the table until I get back even. But it's the same thing with our investing. That you know, when somebody sees a loss, and I've had this happen. Here's you know, again, anecdotal or empirical data, if you will, that says that I've seen people hesitate on making a change that they know. In their mind, and I've given them plenty of logical reasons why they need to get out of something and get into something more secure or do something else with that money. And the fact that the market came down a little bit, they're like, well, let's just wait for it to go back up a little bit and then I'll get out.
Yeah.
And that loss is so real for them at that point.
And when we think about the future, we tend to think unrealistically, optimistically, and we attach to numbers. And then if there's a lack from the number that we unconsciously attach to moving forward, then we feel like we're losing even if we're gaining. And so we tend to check out. So emotional momentum, the hand before this in poker has no impact on this hand, but it feels like it does. We need for this hand to be better.
Yeah, unless you're counting the cards.
Yes.
Okay, but if you're, but there's that, and that's where this whole concept of you know, people being, I'm on a roll. You know, and again, some people really do believe in the luck of the game, and I've got, you know, they got the momentum, and they get into all that, but beyond that, strip away some of that fortune telling, some of that luck thing, but get down into how you really feel about it emotionally. That I mean, that's a real feeling that you have. When you first walked in today, we were talking, how you doing? I'm doing great. And I'm feeling good. We got some. And what word did I use? Momentum.
Yes.
I said, I feel we have good momentum. People know who we are. People are calling us. We're helping people with their money. I did it myself.
Yeah. Yep.
Guilty.
We steal the emotions that feel good and put them into perspective.
Yeah. I like that. Well, that's perspective from Dr. Klo. We're going to do this. We've got to keep our perspective. We'll grab another quick break. 386-428-4564 is how you get a hold of Dr. Klo, and you can sit down and talk with him and have him help you sort things out. So we'll do this quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. While you listen to my brief message there, I got a chance to talk to Dr. Klo a little bit more. So I got 30 seconds with him that you didn't. Lucky me. All right. So back to our conversation, Dr. Klo, about these cognitive biases. There's another one that really is really a big deal as it relates to our money, and that's what we call, or what you've shared this with me, defensive pessimism. What is that?
It's low expectations. We've heard the phrase, if you expect the worst, you won't be disappointed. And that's kind of not true.
It's kind of a mind game.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of like we really aren't changing our expectations. We're just playing this game with ourselves that, oh, I'm going to go into this, but we still have expectations, don't we?
The pain is identical when the event comes. And there's a problem on the low end when you expect too little because your motivation changes and you're not as motivated as you could be.
Which could likely lead to exactly what you're trying to avoid.
Exactly. And if we're too optimistic, then we get too attached to the positives. Kind of like we talked, we get a number in our head that's unrealistic and then we feel like we're losing even if we're winning. And so there's an old George Carlin joke. It's not that the glass is half empty or the glass is half full, but it's twice as big as it needs to be.
Well, I have to share one of my favorite lines from a movie, Point Break with Keanu Reeves. One of the quotes in there is, fear causes hesitation and hesitation will cause your biggest or greatest fears to come true.
Yeah.
I just love the insight. So how does that translate to how we look at money in terms of our investing? Is it we're going to be too, if we're not realistic, that's where we get in trouble.
Yeah. And without thousands of hours of practice and sort of going back to the poker player analogy, what they're doing is they're running numbers. They're numbers experts. And they're using the numbers to battle their emotion. And so it's part instinct, reading other people, and part numbers. Okay, investing is going to be very, very similar. The problem is it's so complicated out there right now. We're battling against computers. And so,
and they're faster, and they don't have that emotional response getting there 1/10 of a second faster.
And somebody like yourself who spent the thousands of hours thinking about this is not only going to be objective because you're not necessarily attached to it.
It's not my money.
Right.
Right.
But also, you know, you need somebody who knows how to think through those things.
You know, it's funny. I have to share with you, I have what we call a 3-no policy at Holland Financial. So if I have a client that calls, let's say the market takes a dip and they call and they want to go to cash, I say no. They say, well, no, you didn't hear me. I want to go to cash. I say no. I want to go to cash. No. Now, I know it's their money, but I'm providing that buffer.
Yes.
And now if they say no, if one more time, I'll say, okay, it's your money and I'll do what you tell me to do. But there's 3 no's that come before that.
Right.
All my clients have access to their accounts online. They can see their account. If they want to go in for that validation,
yeah,
or they're just curious or they just want to know, they can go look. But guess what they can't do? It's their money.
Yes.
They can't trade.
Right. Gotcha.
They have to come through us for that.
Gotcha.
At least while we're attached to the account.
So you're the non-attached, non-emotional buffer who's kind of like the numbers player in a poker game.
We're counting the cards.
Yeah.
And we know about the house, and we're not serving drinks.
Right.
Okay, so that's the defensive pessimism. I think that's fascinating. And then the last one you mentioned is what you call the illusion of control. Aren't we in control?
No, but here's the phrase that goes along with that. We bet more if we're holding the dice.
Okay, so what does that mean?
That means that for some reason, if we believe we're driving, that it will be a safer trip. And so I think this is really counterintuitive to investing, because we tend to invest more emotionally if we're in control.
And because we are investing more emotionally, we're handicapped.
Correct.
Because we have all those emotional attachments.
Correct.
That's why we can't, that's why it's so hard for people to sell the stocks that are losing.
So if we perceive we're in control, even if it's a totally random event, we will bet more.
So online trading.
Yes, it's a perfect example.
I mean, that really is giving people the ability to even make trades on your mobile devices. It's really could be counterproductive, in a, because it's there and you can literally do it. You're in control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's unconsciously, without even thinking about it, that's going to have a dramatic influence on the decision that we make.
Would it make us be willing to take, all the things being equal, would it make us more of a risk taker because we feel like we're in control? Or just exaggerate whatever we feel?
It depends on the previous poker hand.
Oh, boy. So if we've had a period where the market's done very, this is that recency bias. Is that what you call it, where the most recent events have a heavy impact on that most recent hand? So if the market's been going up strongly, then we then tend to put a lot of emphasis or weight on that more recent period.
Yeah, cognitive dissonance we have a bad feeling in us, and rather than sitting in the bad feeling, because that's reality, we'll change our perspective and the facts if necessary to escape the bad feeling. So that sort of reality gets set aside in order to make us feel better.
So we really alter our realities, and we definitely do it with money.
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
We do this with the relationships too.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother subject, isn't it?
And purchases.
This is why I wanted Dr. Klobeck on the line with us today. He can be reached at 386-428-4564. Another quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we are back with Dr. Klo, and his number is 386-428-4564. Office is in New Smyrna?
New Smyrna.
Okay, New Smyrna. And for you around the country, that's on the east coast of Florida. We're about halfway down, not quite halfway down the state. But Dr. Klo is a busy guy, and he sees lots of people and helps them with a lot of these issues, because as you can tell from listening to this interview, he understands how all this works in our heads. So let's talk a little bit about kind of a reality check here, or putting the wheels on the pavement, so to speak. One of the moments in people's lives, which is, I mean, just, you can't get more packed with emotion, is when somebody makes that transition from their working years and accumulation phase of their life to their retirement years. And very often at that moment, when they have all of that emotion, that transition, guess what they're handed? The biggest lump sum in their life.
Yes.
Which is from their 401k or from their company's pension plan, or they've got to make decisions. Now, that's obviously where I'm raising my hand. As you know, Dr. Klo, that's what we do. We help people with their retirement and making those decisions. I just had a couple come in, literally yesterday, and we finalized that decision. And he had just retired, and he is facing these decisions. And I've talked to him several times on the phone, and we talked through, again, lots of logic, lots of smart planning, and here's how what it looks like, and this is what you'll get. But people face that time, and so one of the things I stress very hard with them in terms of emphasis is we've got to have a balance. I don't want to take all your money and put it into something ultra safe, because there are, of course, advantages, disadvantages, but you're going to, you know, miss out in some respects on growth or inflation. And on the other hand, I don't want you going all the other way either and taking these sums and putting it all at risk, because then the consequences are so severe if things don't go just right. So I guess the thing I'm saying is that these periods of time that people are making transition, You got to get that unemotional, detached advice and somebody who knows what they're doing with it, but also get some balance.
It's interesting. I sort of am in the business of helping people live lives well. And that phenomenon that you just described, where you finally are done doing what you were supposed to do and you've collected your pile of whatever you need to collect to feel secure, a lot of people without help, it ends up being more of a burden. And whatever psychological cost there is to having that pile of money there that you're now protecting, it's a state of anxiety. So mm-hmm. here's something that could be spectacular and ends up being a state of anxiety. And so, you know, I think that's probably when it's helpful to have another mind, or couples sometimes do that really well because they can bounce ideas off each other. But having that perspective of making sure you frame it in a way that this is a good thing, because for so many people, it ends up being a bad thing.
Mm, so true. And the people, when they make that transition and they're trying, okay, I've got what I need, or I think I've got what I need. And they make that movement, or I mean, look at the example, extreme example of lottery winners.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories are abound about people, not only lottery winners, but people that have won lawsuits or gotten personal injury settlements, wrongful death, all of those things, inheritances, all of those windfalls, instant wealth. The stories you hear about, of course, I'm sure there are plenty of success stories, but a lot of them, they end so badly. I mean, the Powerball guy with the hundreds of millions of dollars ends up with nothing.
Yes. And depressed.
Yeah, I mean, just...
it's kind of funny, you talk about balance. I think you have to learn to manage money. It's like anything else, you know. There's a process to learning how to do it.
And I know one of the things that your opening theme is, don't always trust your gut. And I actually say quite often to people, I tell them, your job is not, or your goal here is not for me to make you a financial expert. And nor should you expect to become a financial expert. You want to be aware of things. I've written a couple of books, as you know, trying to help people with some basic knowledge, the secrets to a secure retirement. Here are some things you need to understand. But more importantly, I want them to listen to their gut, listen to themselves, and try to reflect on what they're really after, what they really want. And sometimes I need to help them figure that out. But then I wrote the other book about how to get great advice, because most people in life have not been a financial person, or they probably wouldn't be in the financial planner's office. But they have lived a lifetime of experiences that tell them about people. So it may fly a little bit against what you're saying, Dr. Klo, but I want, whether they work with me or not, I want people to really look at themselves and then make a judgment about who they're going to work with, and make an informed decision by having the right materials and the right tools, then let that expert give them the guidance.
That's a funny tautology, but when you don't know what you don't know, you think you know.
And to add to that, the most important thing you can know is what you don't know.
Right.
It's even more important than knowing what you know.
Right.
Funny stuff. Oh, look at that. The lights are flashing. Dr. Klo, we're out of time. I could do this for hours with you. Dr. Klo's been our guest. 386-428-4564. We will definitely have you back on again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you so much.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.